Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. And keep in mind this topic while we read. Believe in me. Believe in me. Let's read. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Great passage of Scripture there. Tremendous. Because Jesus Christ told his disciples, you believe in God? And you know they did, or they never would have received Jesus Christ the way they did. He said, you believe in God? Believe also in me. And he was getting them to a place where they could trust him with what he was about to tell them. Because he was going to leave them. And for the last 3.5 years, he had been in the ministry, and they'd been in the ministry with him. And it was extremely difficult for them to see him go through and get arrested and then tried and falsely accused and beaten and then crucified. Very difficult thing. He said, boys, you're just going to have to trust me on this one. Believe me. Now, there are some great things that result from believing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by examining the text, we can put ourselves in the place of his disciples and realize that in addition to talking to them, he was talking to us. There are some great things that come from believing the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, in the text, we find that believing the Lord Jesus Christ comforts our hearts. Comforts our hearts. Notice what he said in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Notice he said, let not your heart be troubled. Now the truth of the matter is, they were troubled. And in John chapter 16, verse 6, he told them, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the first thing he told his disciples is, he said, look, don't get worried about it. Don't be troubled. Don't let sorrow overcome the joy that you're going to have when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, at that time, they didn't really understand how it would be possible for them to have joy and comfort in the Holy Spirit in the absence of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you have to trust Jesus Christ, and then he will give you comfort in the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of people in the world right now that want comfort. You know, there are a lot of miserable experiences that people go through in life, and our generation is not unique. There are so many kinds of emotional problems. Just this week alone, I've had the opportunity to visit with folks either by email or by phone or in person. And you know, there are some friends of mine and acquaintances of mine who are in a great deal of distress, mainly over relationships. Let's put it that way. Either a daughter and her father, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, a husband and a wife, a child in his father. Something like that. Real painful, hurting experiences. And every one of these is desperately in need of comfort. And I'm going to tell you, you know, as we go through life, I see it over and over again. If you're living and you are breathing, if you have not yet gone through a very deep and hurtful emotional experience in your life, you will if you're living and you're breathing. And at that time, if not before, you are going to need a great deal of comfort. Now, these guys were fixing to go through a terrible experience. Their Lord, their Savior, their King, their friend, their teacher, their prophet, their Savior, their everything in life was fixing to leave after a brutal death. And they were worried about it. I mean, you know, in most of these movements, I think Gamaliel talks about this in the book of Acts. Most of these movements, there'll be 3,000 or 4,000 people that follow somebody. And Gamaliel said, look, in these big deals like the tax revolt or a bunch of folks that were trying to overthrow the government, whatever it was, when their leader dies, they disband. And so these guys were concerned about disbanding. And the Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. And indeed, he comforted them through the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, you see the coming of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, they get a boldness, and they get a joy, and they get a power, and they get a zeal of God, and great and marvelous things happen. The first thing that happened is they saw 3,000 souls saved on the day of Pentecost. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ only appeared to about 500 witnesses after his resurrection? And these guys saw, as a result of his resurrection, 3,000 souls saved in one day? Wow! Not only that, but the Lord said, look, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. You know something? You probably wouldn't want to admit this to me if we were sitting down in my office face to face. But you can agree with me while you listen to this on the radio, because I'm not looking at you and you're not looking at me. You are in distress either in your heart or in your mind right now. And you need comfort. You know something? Jesus Christ said the answer to your trouble is believe in me. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There is comfort in Jesus Christ. You said, well, I would love to believe that, but I just don't believe that. That's why he said, believe in me. I'm telling you, if you would go to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I am desperately in need of comfort. I am desperately troubled right now. And you would honestly admit it and believe him for the comfort and believe him to get you out of the trouble, he would do it. If you'd believe him. It's worth doing. Everything else you've tried hadn't worked. But that's not all that comes with believing in Jesus Christ. Not only do you get comfort in your heart, but by believing in Jesus Christ, you're guaranteed a home. You're guaranteed a home. Believing in Jesus Christ comforts our hearts and guarantees us a home. In Galatians 4:26, we know what that home is. It's New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. And in Revelation chapter 21, he describes that. He said in our text that we're studying, in verse 2, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ told us there are many mansions in that house. Somebody one time said, yeah, but he was only addressing that to 12 disciples. Well, you don't need many mansions for 12 disciples. You only need a few. But if you're going to have all the Christians up there, you're going to need many mansions. And Jesus Christ said, if it were not so, I would not have told you. Because Jesus Christ is not in the habit of lying to you and me about the way things are. Now, the home that we're going to live in, New Jerusalem, is described in Revelation chapter 21. It's got three gates on the east side and three gates on the north side. On the south side, three gates, and on the west side, three gates. That's all in verse 13. There are stones up there. And then he says there's a wall, and it had 12 foundations. And in those foundations, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And then he went to go measure the city. And this is what he said. In Revelation 21:16, the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. So it's a cube. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Well, do you know what that comes out to? That comes out to a city that is 1,500 cubic miles. Now think about that. Just think about how far it is to go 1,500 miles in one direction and then turn and go 90 degrees, 1,500 miles. That would be 1,500 square miles. That's huge. And then it goes up another 1,500 miles, so that the city is 1,500 cubic miles. Somebody said, in my Father's house are many rooms. That's a new translation for you. Let me tell you something. You can put a whole bunch of rooms in 1,500 cubic miles. You can put a lot of mansions in that. You could certainly put enough mansions to house all the Christians that ever have been or will be as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. You know something, down here in this earth, you may not have the home you want down here. You may have a very nice home, but then again, you might not have the home you want. Your home, of course, is yours, and so you're happy with it, but you probably deep down would like to have something else. For one thing, something that you didn't have to pay a light bill on and tax bill on and utility bill on. Well, and that you didn't have to worry about trash on and watering the yard and mowing the grass and all that. When you get to heaven, you're going to have a mansion, and it's going to be greater than anything you ever hoped to have in all your life. As a matter of fact, Paul told us about the work of the Holy Spirit, and he said concerning these matters that we're talking about right here, your home in heaven and stuff like that. He said, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." So it's going to be great. You know, when Jesus Christ was down here, he didn't have the kind of home he wants. He said to a fellow one time, he said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." But you know something? Boy, are we going to have a beautiful mansion in heaven. You know, if you think about your hymn book is filled with hymns regarding heaven and us being up there together. When the roll is called up yonder, I will be there. Ivory palaces. I have a home beyond the river. The Comforter is come. All of these things concerning the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glory of being with him in heaven. What a day that will be when we see our Savior. It's going to be something. The song Face to Face and all those things. Let me tell you something. I realize down here having a home becomes more and more of a miserable experience as the days go by. Upkeep, taxes, repairs, discord. You know, I'm very happy with the house that we have here myself. But I realize that it is very, 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 very pale compared to what we're going to have in heaven. Boy, what we have to look forward to. And he said by this, he said, don't be troubled. Believe in me. I'll comfort your heart. Believe in me. I'll give you a home. And you get to have it forever. And you never have to mow the grass. And you'll never have to polish the windows. And you'll never have to dust, and you'll never have to worry about termites, and you'll never have to worry about mold, and you'll never have to worry about odors, and you'll never have to worry about vacuum cleaners, and you'll never have to worry about sweeping, and you'll never have to worry about mopping, and you never have to worry about washing the dishes, and you never have to worry about the laundry, and you never have to worry about changing the bulbs, and you never have to worry about paying the taxes, and you never have to worry about taking out the trash, and you never have to worry about making up the bed, and you never have to worry about whatever it is you worry about. He said, believe in me, I'll give you a home. Now, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Just imagine if he's been up there 2,000 years preparing the place for us. Whoa! What a place now! He said, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Look, it's not all down here. You couldn't spend enough money and take enough time to build just what you want down here. When you finish with it, you'd always find something that was wrong with it, and you'd always worry about how you're going to sell it, and you'd always be concerned about your heirs and who's going to divide it up and who's going to get it and all that kind of stuff. You know something? Not in heaven, and you'll have it forever. Don't be worried. He says, you believe in me, I'll comfort your heart, I'll guarantee you home, and not only that, I'll give you hope. Believing in Jesus Christ gives us hope. Look what he said. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It gives us hope. When you have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have hope in three things, because before you got saved, you had no hope. Oh, you know, you might hope you win the lottery, or hope you find a date, or hope you get a good job, or hope you graduate from school. But as far as these matters are concerned, Ephesians 2:12 said you had no hope. You were without Christ and without God in the world. But you got hope. And in this text, you've got three things you can hope for. You've got hope of his bodily return. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's what he said. Hope of his bodily return. There are a lot of people that don't believe in that. But you know, when Jesus Christ went up, Jesus Christ said he went up, and then while he was gone, two men in white apparel, that'll be angels, said to him, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He's coming back bodily. Now, you know something? There are a lot of religions of the earth right now, this very day, that are not counting on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The biggest one of all is, actually there are two, and their members comprise over 2 billion people that are on the face of this earth. In other words, if there's 6 billion, one-third of the earth's population, for sure, absolutely, based upon the religious doctrine of the churches they're in, or the religions they're in, do not look for the bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ. One is Roman Catholicism and the other is Islam. Because the bodily return of the Lord Jesus Christ means the destruction of their religions. And they don't want that. And so they're not counting on his bodily return. But you know, I'm saved. I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm trusting that you're saved. Again, if you're not saved, we'll give you the telephone number at the end of the broadcast. Pick up the phone and call us. We'll show you right out of the Bible how to be saved. Wouldn't take you 5 minutes. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You say, well, I already believe in him, but I don't feel like I'm saved. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a difference between believing that somebody exists and trusting him with all your heart. I'll tell you that. And so salvation has to do with repentance. It has to do from turning from your righteousness and picking up the righteousness of God that's in Jesus Christ. When you do that, you have hope that your Savior, whom you've never seen, is coming back to this earth bodily, literally, visibly, and physically to set up his kingdom. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 tells us all about it. It's called the blessed hope, Titus 2:13. The blessed hope. He says this is wonderful. He said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I'm looking for the return of my Savior. You know something? When God caught me and showed me about Jesus Christ and the things concerning his return, I'll tell you the thing that just absolutely encouraged me, I mean just so much, is that I found out from reading the Bible, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth. Oh, I've got hope now because I'm going to see him. And anything that's going wrong in this earth right now, he is going to fix. When he comes, no more war. When he comes, no more bugs. When he comes, long life. When he comes, it's going to be beautiful. The animals are going to take care of themselves the right way. You don't have to worry about environmentalists. The people with environmental concerns will have their satisfaction when Jesus Christ comes, unless they have failed to receive him as their Savior. But not only do you have hope of his bodily return, you've got hope of our physical departure. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's going to be a brief period of terrible tribulation down in this earth before the Lord makes his bodily return. And you know what? He's going to give you and I the opportunity to escape that by being with him in heaven for a period of time when we're waiting for his literal return. It's called our physical departure. Some people call it the rapture. But it shows up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verses 13 to 18. And you know what he says? Because he's talking about letting your heart not be troubled. He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, we have hope, but we don't have to be sorry. Why? Because the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're getting out of here, folks. We're getting out of here. And that's a good thing. I've got hope of that. Not only that, we've got hope of our eternal fellowship, that where I am, there ye may be also. Where I am, there ye may be also. Listen, we have hope of our eternal fellowship. You know, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ right now. 1 John 1:3 tells us that. I have fellowship with Jesus Christ while I'm preaching on the radio, while I'm in my office working, while I walk down the street and pray, while I sleep. We have fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But you know something? According to 1 Corinthians 13:12, one of these days in the not-too-distant future, we're going to see Jesus Christ face to face. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. I can't wait to see Jesus Christ. And you know something? He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And by believing in Jesus Christ, we have hope of his bodily return. He's going to fix all the problems that these politicians and the United Nations and taxes and war cannot fix down here. He is going to give us our physical departure so we have a marriage with him and a judgment seat of Christ and a chance to be able to sing with the angels in heaven to his glory. And then we'll have eternal fellowship, that where I am, there ye may be also. Wow, I can't wait. You know something? I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be able to know now that I'm going to have eternal fellowship with him in this little short lifespan, just a temporary type of a fellowship that where we don't get to see each other, we're going to have an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great thing. But you know something? That's not all. He said, believe in me. I'll comfort your hearts. He said, let not your heart be troubled. It guarantees you home. I go to prepare a place for you. Gives us hope of his return, our departure, and our eternal fellowship. But not only that, believing in Jesus Christ assures our salvation. He said, whither I go, in verse 4, you know the way. Or whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, believing in Jesus Christ assures our salvation. There's no other way to get to the Lord God, God Almighty, the Father, except through Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, most people in the earth try to get to him by religion. In other words, they acknowledge Jesus Christ, but truthfully, they are dependent upon their religion in order to get them there. And religion can't save. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I," not my religion, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Woo, the two greatest beings in the entire universe. He said, I'm theirs. You know how? We got to be his by believing in him, because he is the way. And you know what he said? Not a way, the way. There is no other way aside from Jesus Christ. But not only that, he said, "I'm the truth." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He is the truth. You know, there's not one error that you can find in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he never sinned. You can find an error in Muhammad. You can find an error in the Pope. You can find an error in the religion. You can find an error in the preacher. But you can't find an error in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the truth. Pilate had him in the trial, and he said to Jesus Christ, "What is truth?" Unfortunately, Pilate was looking right at him and turned around and walked out without receiving the truth. But then Jesus Christ said, "I am the life." In him was the life of men. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And John tells us, this is so great, listen to this. All one syllable words. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Listen, if you haven't believed Jesus Christ to where you have the assurance of your salvation, then believe Jesus Christ, because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He guarantees you comfort. He guarantees you a home. He guarantees you his bodily return and your eternal fellowship. He guarantees you salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you have him? Will you have him? If you already do, will you receive his comfort? Will you receive his hope? Will you receive his home? Will you receive his return? Don't be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.